This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number two on this Christmas Eve, Dan Grassa in for the guys on the Michael K. Show here, 98.7 ESPN. Hope everybody's having a great one. Hope everybody is, I don't know, staying out of this weather if you don't have to be out in it. It's finally stopped like raining and snowing here where I am, but it's still windy, it's still cold, and it's going to get like only colder over the next 48 hours. We were talking about it during the break. Some of the temperatures right now for some of these sites of NFL games this weekend, they're in like the real field temperatures right now where some of them are like minus 20, minus 30. I mean, that is ungodly. And they're going to be playing football in that tomorrow. Great. As long as I don't have to be in it. That's more than okay by me. More than okay. On that note, it is game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We got a busy night tonight on the local sports scene. We got the Knicks and the Bulls that are coming up right after us here on 98.7 ESPN. Nets are going to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. That's also a 7:30 tip. And then over on the ice, you got Devils and Bruins coming up at 7. You got Islanders Panthers at 7:30. Plus, you got college basketball galore. If that floats your boat, you got a couple of bowl games today. Everything that you could possibly want if you're a sports fan and you don't have really anything to do. So what could be better here as you get ready to embark here on this holiday season? That is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it is Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Jets fall to the Jaguars, 19-3. Playoff hopes hanging by a thread. Is it salvageable? Anthony in the mail truck up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Anthony, good afternoon, pal. How are you?
Dan, what's going on, man? It's freezing right now.
It's awful.
Where I'm at in New Jersey right now, it feels like it's 6 degrees outside with a 25-mile-an-hour wind. But I'm actually sitting in my truck right now, and I feel like it's going to blow over. Let's get to this Jets game last night. You know, I'm 27 years old, Dan. I have never seen a worse quarterback than Zach Wilson, and I know I'm beating a dead horse because I can't fathom how bad this guy plays football. Now, I saw Jamarcus Russell play. I think he's worse than Jamarcus Russell. And here's why. I feel as though the Jets are a quarterback away from being like a perennial, I wouldn't say Super Bowl contender, but definitely in the conversation. You know, they're not with the Bills and the Chiefs, you know, all those teams, but they're definitely in the conversation. And, you know, watching him play football last night, it looked like, number one, that the team, not that the team didn't want to play for him, because I don't want to say that, because you can't really say that. But when Mike White's in there, when another quarterback's in there, you know, they're playing their butts off. But even it, you know what? After the strip sack of Trevor Lawrence and their defense, you know, doing a great job setting them up, you know, like you said in the beginning of the show, they went backwards on that drive. You know, I feel like after that, after they got 3 points instead of 7, I feel like the game was over. I didn't feel like the Jets had any chance of winning that game. Dan, thanks for taking the call, brother. You have a great, great holiday season, bro.
Anthony, same to you and yours, my friend, as always. Look, I mean, the bottom line is, when you talk about quarterback play, and this isn't just with the Jets, this is for any team in football, good quarterback play can cover a lot of things that ail your football team. A lot of things. It is the great eraser, as they say. You know, you can have a bad defense, but if you got a great quarterback, just go out there and he could, you know, outscore the other team. You know, win a shootout type of a game. You know, Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. You know, Aaron Rodgers for the most part, not this year, you know, the majority of his career with the Green Bay Packers. You know, guys like that. It's a luxury. You know, Brady all those years, of course, in New England and, you know, even to a certain extent his time down there in Tampa Bay. It is a luxury when you have that in your back pocket. Jets don't have that guy right now. It's obvious, right? They're still looking for that guy. And it's unfortunate, too, because as far as this season is concerned, I believe, you know what? If Mike White could have stayed healthy and if Mike White had maybe been pressed into duty a little bit earlier in the season, I think we're still talking about a Jets team that's probably going to the playoffs. You know, I don't know if they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I think it's a playoff team. I think they'd have at least a couple of more wins than they have right now. I think they win the Lion game last week if Mike White plays. I think that if Mike White plays those games against the New England Patriots, they're probably winning those games. Hell, if Robert Saleh pulled Zach Wilson in favor of Mike White, even in the fourth quarter of that one up in Foxborough, which was 3-3 for about, what, three quarters, I think Mike White could have let him down the field to at least put another field goal up on the board. That would have won you the damn game. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. But they don't give out those type of prizes and trophies in the NFL, unfortunately. Let's say hi to Paul in Queens, up next here on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Paul? How you doing?
Dan, I like you. You're a good guy. You just made a good point. Listen, Dan, let me make my point because you know how passionate I am since 1979.
Yeah.
I watched number 51 play. After 22 years, and it goes back to what you just said, I finally realized why Bill Belichick didn't want to be part of this team because of the disorganization. And let's get one thing right. You're right. Mike White should have started in the beginning of the year, not Joe Flacco. Look at all this hysteria. 2.5 hours we had to wait for a press conference a couple of weeks ago to find out who's the quarterback. Number one, Quinton Williams fighting. Garrett Wilson arguing. There's a lot of disorganization in this clubhouse. Poor Robert Saleh had to band-aid this team together. This team was deflated last night. Deflated. There's an organizational problem. And I got news for you. I don't care what anybody says. Woody Johnson meddles too much with this team. That's why he put number two in. Number two, exactly like you said, it's 3-3. We're up in Fox. We're playing our guts out. Why didn't this kid come and play? Because they didn't want him to play. This team, as everybody knows, with the amount of talent that Joe Douglas has built there, will do playoff damage. Playoff damage. And yes, they'll beat the Bills and the Chiefs if they get a quarterback. You know what I mean? Because last night, that post-game show, Dan, I couldn't get up, but you guys were waxing too much poetic with this team. Too much poetic. The bottom line is that, you know what? There's a lot of talent in this team, and it'll be sorely wasted. And you see how much, like a guy like number 17 sits there and has to, you know, at a post-game game, you know, you can see the frustration on the team. You see it. And the bottom line is, let these guys play. And again, it took me 22 years to realize how much disorganization when a guy like a great coach had to leave. Dan, have a great Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to your family, buddy. Thank you.
Paul, same to you and yours. Appreciate it. Paul's a little, you know, he's passionate. He's all over the place there. Let me try to, you know, cross off what he just said. I think the reason, if you want to go back and play revisionist history and get ourselves, like, back into that moment, I think the reason he stuck with Zach Wilson up in Foxborough in that game, because remember, up until that point, Zach Wilson was 5-1 as the Jets starter. 5-1. So, or maybe it was 4-1 at that point. I don't remember if it was they had played the, no, that was after the Buffalo Bills win. Right. So, he was 5-1 as a starter. And I think that you're just hoping it's like, hey, he's our franchise quarterback. He's the guy that we picked second overall. I know that maybe it's kind of ugly here and we can't really get anything going. Maybe it's just one of those days. Maybe it's the Patriots defense, whatever it is. But I think that's why they stuck with him too long. However, I think what happened was it got to the point where it became so unwatchable. And look, that Patriot game, that second one was like pulling teeth, right? I mean, when you are only able to muster 2 yards of total offense in the second half of a football game, guys, wherever you are right now, in your car, at home, walking around, just think about how far 2 yards are right in front of you from where you're currently positioned. That was the extent of the Jets' offense in the second half that day. And for the National Football League, that's unacceptable. You know, for Pee Wee football, that's unacceptable. It just is. And that's why they had to make a change. And so much so, you had guys in that locker room after the game. And I wouldn't chalk that up to disorganization, as Paul was calling it. You know, or like chaos and, you know, disruption in the room or anything like that. I wouldn't call it that. That was guys who knew the talent level and belief that they had in one another in that room that were being held back by one guy and one guy only and one position, and that was the quarterback. And something had to be – they basically, you know, everything that was said after that game, it basically came down to, hey, we're a good enough team. We're a playoff caliber team. There's no way that we could go out there. I mean, think about, for instance, that New England game. Think about how well the defense played. New England couldn't do anything. Well, New England, they could have played that game for another 4 hours, and I think the score still would have been 3-3, if not for the punt return. You can't have one side of the ball playing as well as they are for your offense to go out there and do absolutely nothing. And this isn't like vintage Patriots defense from, you know, the Super Bowl years. That is a very, very beatable team, and as we've seen, they're not even a playoff team, in my opinion, the New England Patriots. And I told you back in the summer that that was the team with the least amount of talent in the AFC East, and I'm proven right. So something had to be done. And I said even at the time, you know, when you got somebody like Garrett Wilson, and I know Garrett pretty well, he is as good a dude as you are going to find. I don't care, good player, bad player, regardless of his skill level. He is as good a dude as you could want on your team. And this is a rookie. This is a guy who hasn't been here for years and years and years. And for him after that game to say the things that he said, like I said at the time, I think that sent up signals in that building. Like, wait a sec. If that's even making Garrett speak out, and he is one of the nicest, most respectful guys you're ever going to find, then we really do have something on our hands here. So Robert Saleh, they made that change and brought in Mike White because you have to keep that locker room together. And it's not just pleasing this side or that side. It's pleasing and making sure 53 guys are all united when they come to work each and every day to go out there and try to win a football game and put in the work to try to win a football game on Sunday. That's why the move was made. And you saw how much that team rallies around Mike White. Okay, that room loves Mike White even before Mike White steps out on the field this year. Whether it's back in week one, whether it's the summertime, they love Mike White. Love him. And it's just a damn shame that Mike White got hurt. I don't know if Mike is going to be the starter next year. I don't. I don't know if Mike is going to be on the team next year because remember, Mike is a free agent. And there's going to be other teams out there that are going to need a quarterback, and they might look at Mike White and say, that's the guy that we want. And they might give him an offer that's too good to refuse, and he might price himself out of New York. Who knows? But if given the opportunity and he comes back to the Jets, I think that Mike White deserves an opportunity to compete for the job next year with whoever else that might be. And I got a feeling that's probably a guy who is not in the organization right now. That's just my guess. Obviously, no decisions have been made. Still got 2 weeks to go left in the season. They're just trying to worry about winning a game in Seattle on New Year's Day. That's all they're worried about. Who's the guy that's going to give us the best chance to win a game in Seattle? They're hoping it's Mike White, right? They're hoping they get, you know, they're going to, Robert Saleh and company, I saw him at the mall this morning, right after his press conference. He was waiting in line, him and Joe Douglas. It was weird to see them online, but they were online waiting to go see Santa Claus, and they were going to each sit on his lap, and they were for Christmas, they were going to ask for calcification on Mike White's ribs. That's what they were going to ask Santa for, because they want Mike White to play against the Seahawks and preferably against the Dolphins so they can at least end the season on somewhat of a high note and maybe win a couple of games. And maybe we'll have an offense that can actually go up and down the field and score points with the way good teams in the NFL in 2022 actually operate. I said it earlier in the show, in case you missed it. You look at the last three games that the Jets have played. They gave up, okay, as I pull it up here, 20, 20, and 19 points in each three games. You should be able to win football games if all you're having to score is 21 points or more in this day and age. And the Jets lost all three. Lost all three. Danny in Centerport, up next, 98.7 ESPN. Danny, how we doing?
All right, Dan, happy holidays to you, man. You know,
Dan, same
to you. We have a little relationship on the post games. I missed you last night. I couldn't even bring myself to do it. And, you know, listen, you just hit everything right on the head. And all fairness, you know, I love Ira. I wish I had his temperament. And you know, Booter is another caller. I know he's there. But making excuses for all this other stuff, it, of course, is a little valid. But the bottom line is you just hit it right on the head. And the bare facts on just above average quarterback play in those four games that you mentioned, the two Patriot games and the two that we just came off of it, we would be controlling our own destiny. Let's not even get into the Viking game where Mike White and the play calling drove us crazy, because that's another team that we should have had buried with 1-6 inside the red zone. So to talk about that this team is not ready and make excuses about Douglas's moves, the season is an entity in itself, and this season we just let slip by for no reason. Just above
average quarterback play, Dan, and we would be in control of this AFC. It's not even a question. Now, listen, all of that being said, Zach was horrible. You know, listen, we can't let all those other things off the hook, undoubtedly, okay? We've been horrible with LaFleur on first downs. He doesn't get a pass. The O-line doesn't get a pass. We got out-coached last night by a Super Bowl-winning coach that I swear I talked a million times on this station I wish we would have taken when we had the chance to get a new coach. We were ill-prepared. We had 9 penalties. And you know what? I heard you with that little clip of LaFleur, how he said, you know, I wish we could have put that one in there, and we would have had a half a prayer last night. You know what? That kid drove us down the field, and you know what he did, Dan? Because I know you were there doing your thing, right? We got to 3rd and 2 after Strebler did the read option a million times. We get to 3rd and 2 on the 10, and what does he do? He does a 3-yard handoff to Bam, who gets stuffed, and then on 4th and 2, we're throwing. Why couldn't he just consistently can doing what he was doing there? So, you know, he doesn't get a pass. We don't get a pass for giving up that last game, just like you brought up to the Rams, and not giving Trevor Lawrence. We laid an egg against this Lion and Jaguar team for no reason. This team was ready to win this year, and it's a darn shame that we let an awesome season go. This was an entity season that could have been won. So no excuses across the board about all that other stuff. This season was here for our taking, and our quarterback let us down.
Danny, thanks for the call, my friend. Have a great holiday. I don't agree entirely when you say the quarterback let them down. I think that it was one too many dents for them to be able to overcome. That's what I think. Now, look, every team in the NFL has injuries. They all do. But the Jets, I think, if you add it all up now, what, 16 weeks or whatever it is, I think it was just one too many injuries for them to be able to overcome at such key spots. We talked about the offensive line earlier. You know, there's only so many guys you could sit there on that. That old line is so, I mean, like, you got Dwayne Brown out there playing with one arm. He's been playing with one arm all year, right? Nate Herbig is out there, I think, almost on one leg trying to gut it out. You know, George Fant, he missed how many weeks this year? He's still not 100% with that knee injury. You know, guys are sucking it up. Nobody's supposed to feel great this late in the year. You know, you lose a guy like Breece Hall, right? And unfortunately, it's just the wrong guys getting hurt at the worst times, starting with the quarterback. You know, I know we can't play the what-if game, but I firmly believe deep down, despite the fact that there's these other flaws that the team has, and they are far from perfect in a lot of areas. If Mike White doesn't get hurt against the Buffalo Bills, I think we're still talking about a Jets team with eyes on the playoffs. I really and truly believe that. Because I think they beat the Detroit Lions, and I think they win last night too. I do. I mean, the numbers don't lie. I'm only basing it off of what I've seen with Mike White as the quarterback. You know, this is a guy who played 3 games this year. And he averaged about 320 yards passing in those 3 games. So let's take the average. Take the average. If he throws for 320 yards in the last 2 games, I got a feeling that the Jets are going to find a way to make it work, to find a way to win. But he wasn't there. And instead, you had to play a quarterback that, let's not forget, the only reason, okay, this is before Zach Wilson got benched last night. The only reason that Zach Wilson got his job back, it's not because Mike White faltered. It's not because Mike White threw interceptions. Hell, it's not even because Mike White went 1-2 as a starting quarterback. Zach Wilson got his job back because Mike White got hurt. That's it. And remember, they sent Mike White for x-rays at the stadium in Buffalo and sent him back into the game because they realized that he's the guy who gives them the best chance to win games. And Mike White's a gamer. And they didn't know at the time how seriously bad and fractured the ribs were because you don't have that equipment at the stadium in Buffalo. You have to go to the hospital to get the CT scans and all that stuff, which show you the fractures. Preliminary x-rays showed, now, you know what? You're good to go. It's a pain tolerance thing. If you're okay, go out there, play football. And he went back out there. That, to me, more than anything else, more than Breece Hall, well, I mean, the Breece Hall thing speaks for itself. I mean, who knows? If he and AVT don't go down in the Denver game, we don't know what kind of season we're talking about. I mean, maybe we are talking about a team who might even be knocking on the door winning the division. Who knows? But if you just want to talk it short-term, post those other injuries, Mike White doesn't get hurt I believe you're talking about a playoff caliber team. 800-919-3776. More of your calls. We will get to the Giants, of course, on this Football Friday. Dan Grasso in for the guys on the Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And this Big Blue report on 98.7 ESPN is driven by Ramsey Mazda. We'll get to Big Blue and the Giants coming up in just a sec. But we want to bring on our pal. It's always good to catch up with our good buddy Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, it's Dan Grasso in for the guys today. Happy holidays to you, my friend. How are things?
I'm doing well, Dan. Happy holidays to you and your family as well.
I'm sure you saw the game last night. Is that as rock bottom a situation that Zach Wilson, you think, could find himself in here with the New York Jets?
Yeah, pretty close to it. You know, I think hindsight's 20/20, but I think, you know, if the Jets could have it back over again, you know, not to say that Zach Wilson still can't be a good player, but maybe they should have just sat him a year ago and just said, hey, you know what, he's going to learn. We have him for 5 years, and you know, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year and Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years, because it just seems like the game right now is too fast for him. And it's hard to develop a quarterback in the NFL. It's hard to develop one in New York, but it just seems like the game is just moving too fast for him.
And I don't disagree with you at all about that assessment, about the speed of the game and that sort of thing. But that to me would be atypical for a player, Mike, who is starting to gain more playing experience. Like, why is that happening now further into his career? You would have thought that that would be the case last year, and I'm looking at a guy who, you know, seems less comfortable in the pocket than he did even when he was a rookie with less experience.
Yeah, it's and that typically happens, Dan, when a player lacks confidence. And clearly, look, he's human. You know, these players come out, and there's a lot of hype, attention, and expectations. And when you fall short, you're going to start doubting yourself. And you could tell by his body language, you could tell by the press conference, and clearly his confidence has been eroded. And the only way to get it back is to earn the trust and confidence of your teammates and coaches, and stack one good practice on top of the next. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but for him, the only way up and out of this is just to start playing better and start to practice.
Now, you still have two more games to play. They're not going to cancel the rest of the season. And we know that the playoffs are an extremely remote chance now when you're talking about the Jets. Say Mike White still is not cleared to even play the next week against the Seattle Seahawks. What do you do if you're Robert Saleh? Do you send Zach Wilson back out there and have him start the next game?
I would go with Flacco. I just I don't know what good comes out of him playing the last two games. You know, clearly he's not ready to go. For a myriad of reasons, and maybe he will be next year. Look, it's not a death sentence. It's just like, hey, look, you're not playing very good right now, and to put you out there is going to hurt the team. It's going to hurt you as well.
Let's switch over to the Giants here. They got themselves a big one, of course, coming up on Sunday, or I just want to say on Sunday, tomorrow in Minnesota against the Vikings. And I mean, just put into words, I mean, just how big was that victory for them last week in Washington, in the sense that, you know, it looked like the sky had been falling the previous couple of weeks. So for them to right the ship and to kind of win a game almost with the same formula that they were winning games earlier in the season with, I mean, does that kind of give you another jolt if you're a fan about the guy that you have running the show here and Brian Daboll as your head coach?
Oh, I think so. That was a big, big time win. And with so much on the line, and you know, look, they're far from a perfect team. They would be the first to tell you that, but there's a lot of things they're doing well. And I think they're an offense, candidly, that's really hard to prepare for because they attack you so well horizontally as well as vertically. And I think sometimes we don't realize like the athlete that Daniel Jones is and the plays he makes with his feet. And you know, he's back there with Saquon Barkley. And if you don't account for his gap, you know, Saquon can take it to the house on every play. So what they lack in explosiveness, they actually make up for in creativity. And, you know, to me, on paper, this just has all the makings of a really high-scoring game because, you know, Minnesota could put up 40 in a hurry, as, you know, we saw. They just really struggle stopping anybody.
But are the Giants equipped to win a game like that? That would concern me if you're going to tell me it's going to be a shootout in Minnesota tomorrow, because I don't know if the Giants necessarily have that type of a high-octane offense, even against Minnesota.
Yeah, because some of their runs become explosive plays. And then what will happen is Minnesota will commit so many to the box that you'll actually have favorable matchups on the outside, even though you don't have great receivers. So I'm not impressed with Minnesota's defense. And because of it, I think it'll be an opportunity for the Giants to make big plays during the course of the game. Now, you know, the other side of it is true, too, which is, you know, Minnesota has a really good offense. And with Dory Jackson being out, I just don't know how they're going to defend Justin Jefferson.
You and I haven't talked about this yet, I don't think, this year, but I've been saying it. When I watch this Giants team and the way this whole year has kind of unfolded for them, you know, rookie coach, rookie GM, starting a rebuild, maybe the expectations weren't that very high going into the season, and yet here they are playing winning football, have their eyes set on making the playoffs. It kind of takes me back, Mike, to your first season as the GM of the Jets back in 2006, when Eric came in as the head coach. You know, you guys were starting over a little bit. The expectations weren't exactly sky high that season. You know, Chad Pennington had to prove that he was healthy to become the starter on opening day, and he won the competition. You guys won 10 games that year because you were a well-coached team that didn't make mistakes. Do you see some of those same parallels between that Jet team and this Giants team?
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. And it's funny because Coach Mangini and Brian Daboll are really good friends, and Daboll was actually on a lot of our Jet staff. So there is some irony there. So absolutely, you know, I think it's a team, as you mentioned, I don't think they're equipped to usually win shootouts. They're probably a low-ceiling team with a high floor because they don't beat themselves. They don't turn the ball over. They don't have a lot of penalties. So I think Brian's doing a great job. I think that's very apparent each week. This is a tough matchup, especially up there in Minnesota, but I think it's going to be a close game. I just think it's going to be on the high scoring end.
Talking with Mike Tannenbaum here on 98.7 ESPN, Michael Kaye, Dan Gross is sitting in for the guys. The NFC South is a joke. I mean, we all can acknowledge that here. And, you know, I'm watching that game last week with Tampa Bay against Cincinnati. And, you know, more and more, and I understand the Buccaneers have a lot of problems. They're dealing with injuries. You know, the roster certainly not anywhere near as good as it was a couple of years ago when they won a Super Bowl. But, you know, Tom Brady's doing things that we've never seen him do before, like commit four consecutive turnovers, like what happened in the second half of that game against Cincinnati. And he ain't getting any younger here, Mike. So I guess the question is, like, how much of the blame are you putting on Tom Brady? How much of the blame are you attributing to the fact that, you know, what he has around him as to why maybe the performance has suffered here?
Yeah, you know, it's a fair point. You know, I think it's a little bit of a perfect storm. They have four new offensive linemen, be it injuries or free agent defections or retirements. And he is a aging and speed-deficient player, and you put that behind a bad offensive line, and, you know, it's kind of like the perfect storm. I thought Tampa would play better on defense, but Tom has not played nearly as well as he did a year ago. You know, that's very, very apparent. And when you factor in defensively, you know, Shaq Barrett's out, Pierre Paul's moved on, and Ndamukong Suh hasn't come back. You know, it's you know, they're just not the same team on either side of the ball.
You know, let me talk about the team that we saw last night against the Jets, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, you know, they flipped the switch on their season, and all of a sudden, you know, they've gotten hot at the perfect time. They're winning games that maybe they look like they wouldn't win, like last week against Dallas when they made that comeback, and even Lawrence fumbled the ball late in regulation in that game, yet they still found a way to get it to overtime and to win. You think the Jaguars are winning that AFC South, Mike?
I think they can because of the inexperience of Malik Willis. You know, I think if Ryan Tannehill was healthy, I still like Tennessee. I like Malik Willis. I think he's a really interesting player long-term because of his athleticism. I think he'll just get better and better. But, boy, Jacksonville, like there's some teams, Jacksonville, Dan, Detroit, they're coming and they're coming fast. And those are teams with much higher ceilings right now than the Giants because they could score so much. And, boy, Trevor Lawrence playing really, really good football.
Right now, you look at the AFC, and in my opinion, there's three teams that stand out above the rest, of course, in no particular order, with Kansas City, with Buffalo, and with Cincinnati. And we know that Cincinnati's got the pedigree because they went to the Super Bowl last year. They're getting hot at the right time here. If you had to tip your scales right now, out of those three, who do you think is the team that is best positioned to come out of the AFC and to get to the Super Bowl?
I think Buffalo, but Cincinnati's close for me. You know, Cincinnati's beaten Kansas City three times in a calendar year, which is hard to do.
Yep.
Cincinnati just concerns me. Looks like Sam Hubbard's out with his calf. Trey Hendrickson's going to try to play. He has a broken wrist. I don't know how you can rush the passer with a broken wrist. That's really remarkable. And then you look at Buffalo. Look, they've had a bunch of injuries like everybody else, but I just think for one game right now, I just can't go over that play that Josh Allen made, that two-point play against Miami where he just goes over the top. You know, he's 6'5 and can do those sort of things. So all three teams you can make a good argument for, but I'll take Buffalo.
Did you ever think that you would see a Bill Belichick coach team make the kind of gaffe that you saw at the end of that miraculous finish last week in Las Vegas?
Yeah, that was a once-in-a-lifetime play. Although I was with the Dolphins when we beat them on that multilateral yep. play at the end of the game. Difference here, of course, was we were down 5 in that game. This game was tied. And, you know, to me, if your quarterback can't reach the end zone, then the alternative is easy. Just take a knee because, you know, obviously you don't expect that play to happen. But, Dan, like, clearly, you know, a fumble is not out of the question. So to run the ball and get whatever 15, 20 yards is irrelevant on the last play of the game.
Let me circle back and close with a couple of questions here again about the locals and specifically the quarterbacks. And I'll start with the Giants here for a second. Do you have a decision yet, if you're the Giants, on what Daniel Jones' future is with this organization based on what you've seen so far this year?
Yeah, you got to keep him. I don't think there's any question about that at this point for two reasons. One, he's had a good year. I think he's going to continue to get better. And then the other fundamental part of that equation is, like, if not him, who? You're not going to get Will Levis in the draft. You're not going to get Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. So, who are you going to get in the draft? You're going to go with, Anthony Richardson from Florida, who might be a good player, but certainly won't be Daniel Jones in the first couple of years. And, you know, from a free agent standpoint, who are you going to get that's going to be younger, healthier, more durable? So I think if you're the Giants, you got to re-sign Daniel Jones.
And if you're the Jets, you know, leave Zach Wilson out of it for a second and just leave it to Mike White or concentrate on Mike White. Say Mike White doesn't get back on the field again this year, and you only have three games to evaluate him on in 2022 when the couple that he played last season. He's a free agent. How do you factor in Mike White into what the plans are for 2023 and beyond in regards to the Jets?
Yeah, I like Mike White. I think there's something really authentic about him that clearly his teammates buy into. So if I'm them, I'm going to keep Mike White for sure. And that doesn't mean we can't keep developing Zach Wilson, but I'm not letting Mike White lead the program.
So you think that there's a feasible scenario to where, let's say, Zach Wilson and Mike White are the two primary quarterbacks on this roster next year, and they're going to battle it out for the starting job?
Yeah, I don't think that's, I think that's a real alternative. And again, if you're the Jets, you're not going to give up on Zach Wilson. You know, he was the second pick a year ago, but you also don't want to let Mike White out of the building either.
Definitely not. Like you said, I think the fact that the rest of the guys in that locker room really respect the heck out of him, and I think that that's more important than a lot of other things. And, oh, by the way, he can actually operate the offense pretty good too, which I think certainly is a pretty significant factor. Mike, always appreciate a couple of minutes, my friend. Happy holidays to you and your family, and we look forward to catching up again real soon.
Yeah, thanks so much. You too. Thanks, Dan.
All righty. That is Mike Tannenbaum, and that's the Big Blue Report. It's driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. More Football Friday. We'll also get into the baseball stuff, too, before we say goodbye. ENN, an Anthony Pusick vehicle tonight coming up at 6 o'clock, as per usual. We're with you till 7 o'clock. Dan Grasso in for the guys on the Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Dan Grasso sitting in for the guys here on this Football Friday on the Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN. Remember, we're taking it right up until 7 o'clock. Then you got Knicks pregame, Knicks and Bulls tonight. We'll have ENN for you coming up at 6 o'clock. Anthony Pusick, a vehicle tonight with the ENN. Anthony, I got a question for you, my friend.
Yes, Dan.
Today's date would happen to be what?
That would be December 23rd. I think I know where you're going with this, by the way.
No, I don't think you do, because I didn't even tell you about
it.
So it'll be a surprise. How about this? But I wanted to establish, right, it is December 23rd.
Yep.
So earlier today, I'm out and about, braving the elements, braving the weather, the cars, the traffic, the everything. You know, trying to get some things done, you know, with the holiday coming up here in a couple of days. So went to the grocery store, and one in particular, I don't know if you and I have had this conversation, but I really am not ashamed to say that to me, on certain holidays, like, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, for example, like, if you are going to go crazy with the desserts, whatever type of meal that you're going to enjoy, to me, I am particularly fond of Stop and Shop. You know, they do the great bakery at Stop and Shop at the grocery store.
Sure.
Right? The muffins are outstanding, all that stuff. They're really, really good. They do a nice apple crumb pie.
Ooh.
That they make there at the bakery. They call it Dutch apple, but it's essentially an apple crumb pie. It's fantastic. To me, it's as good an apple pie as you're ever going to get. So I'm partial to that one. That's like the only supermarket bakery type thing that I'm going to like make sure I have to have, in addition to all the other things that you make at home and so on and so forth. Like, that's a part of the dessert selection for me when it comes to these holidays. So I had to go to Stop and Shop today, right? You have to get the pie, have it for like the Christmas festivities. And you said today was what again?
That would be the 23rd.
23rd, okay. So I go over to the bakery section, and I'm checking out the apple pies with the crumb. And they had to think about six or seven of them there. So here I am. I'm the yo-yo that's going through the pile, moving them to this side, moving them on top of the pumpkin ones, the pecan ones, all like just going through them all because I noticed I'm always a stickler to check and see, like, when they were packaged on, what date, right?
Sure.
And so I pull up the first one on top, and it says it's packaged on December 17th.
That's 6 days ago.
That's 6 days ago. I'm thinking to myself, December 17th, the Jets hadn't even lost to the Lions yet on December the 17th.
That like, we hadn't even had hope for the Jets.
Still had hope for the Jets on December 17th.
So think about it. For the Jets.
When that pie went into that little container that they put it in, that pie was saying to himself, hey, Jets got four games left. All they got to do is win a couple. I think they're going to the playoffs. And then they sealed the pie in there, and that poor pie has got no idea what's happened the last couple of games for the Jets.
He'll be very confused.
Very confused. So whoever's going to buy that pie and opens it up, he's gonna be like, hey, we getting Jet playoff tickets? They're going to be like, boy, have you missed a lot in those 5 days. Anyway, I know this conversation's gotten really trippy. We're talking about, like, talking pies and everything. So
we didn't sleep a lot, did we?
No, not as a lot of sleep. So I go through all the pies, and wouldn't you know that each and every one of them packaged on December 17th. Anthony, you know what? I don't want to necessarily toot my own horn.
Sure.
Right? I'm a realist in those type of things, but I think I do pretty well. I work hard. I want to at least enjoy a pie that was made a little bit closer to the holiday than, let's say, 6 or 7 days prior, right? I mean, that's not too much to ask for, right? We live in a very prosperous country, right? And I think that one of the things, and I don't think this is a first world problem necessarily, I don't want a pie that's on the, how can I put this, staler side.
This pie, again, this pie needs to know the Jets' playoff future. It can't not know what's transpired over the last 6 days.
So what do I do?
I guess you can't get it, right?
I go over to the bakery counter because there was a woman working there, and I said, excuse me. I said, do you happen to have any of the crumb apple pies back there? Because the ones that you have out there were packaged like a week ago. So she gets out from behind the counter, walks over to where all the pies are, and I'm thinking to myself, do you not trust my ability to read a label and to see where when a pie is packaged? She looks at them all, and yes, it validated exactly what I said, that they were packaged on December 17th. And she says, hold on, I have one that I just packaged. She goes into the back, gives me one, wouldn't you know it, packaged on December 23rd, got myself a fresh pie.
That's and you know what, though, Dan, by the way?
Yeah.
That must have been packaged pretty early.
Absolutely.
They were listening to you and Greg on the Jets pregame show, postgame show, I should say.
Exactly.
When they were
exactly.
And that pie knows.
So I guess if there's a moral to the story, I don't know if it's maybe in the same vein as, like, you know, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol or anything like that, as far as like a holiday tale is. But if you are trying to get like a last minute item, whether it's a gift, whether it's a food item, whether it's a pie, over the next 24 to 36 hours, if something is not as it appears, at least out on the shelves, don't be afraid to ask. Because you never know what could be lurking either behind the counter, behind the register, back in the stockroom. You might be able to get something that was packaged on this very day. That's the moral of the story. That is the Christmas miracle in this all, Anthony. How about that?
This is beautiful. It really is.
It's a great Christmas story.
You're helping people.
I'm helping people. That is my gift to you. Apart from this show, that is my holiday gift to everybody out there. My experience at good old Stop and Shop earlier today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.